Welcome everybody to HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew here with my good pal Stephen Robles, who is currently trying out for a Bond girl position in the latest James Bond movie. I'm glad you had time between all of your acting classes to be here today, Stephen.
Listen, I'm quite the thespian. I don't think our listeners realize that.
I know.
I did lots of musical theater, and it was actually an aspiration to be in a Bond movie, and I'll take whatever role they'll give me. I preferred Q, but, you know, I'd go for the other.
Hey, it's fine. Whatever they'll give you, it still gets you in a Bond movie, man.
Quartermaster. It would have been nice if that Bond movie came to Apple TV+. That would have been fun.
I know. Seriously, I'm a huge movie buff. That movie literally came out like on my birthday, and then they moved it, and I've been so sad inside ever since. I love the Bond franchise.
Yes. But anyway,
we go on.
Yeah, this isn't the movie podcast. This is a HomeKit podcast.
Nope. But
007, he uses a lot of gadgets. You know, I rewatched Skyfall recently, and so I am kind of in a 007 mood. And that's a great movie. I just want to point that out.
It is, and we just lost, Sean Connery, of course. Mm. So that kind of ties in there at the same time.
That's wild. He was 90 years old.
I know.
Crazy.
I know.
Bond. James Bond. Okay. Well, let's talk about HomeKit. So some quick pieces of news. Acara actually launched a new smart rotary dimmer switch. And I'll put a picture in the chapter art and a link to the article talking about it. But it's kind of in this new line of Acara products that look super modern and cool. So you can check that out. And also, Acara is actually now available in Amazon Canada. And so I'll put a link to their shop in Canada. So if you're up there, I know we have listeners all over the world. And if you're in Canada now, you can get some Acara products like that new G2H camera that's pretty cool. To celebrate the launch of their Canadian store, Acara actually has a special deal just for you, our HomeKit Insider listeners. If you buy any of their products on Amazon and use the promo code Acara, FAI, all one word, that's AQARAFAI, that promo code is valid through November 14th, and you can get a discount on those Acara products. And if you're in Canada, they have their brand new Canada store that just opened, so check that out. And you'll also see it in the show notes if you need that promo code once again. And this isn't a piece of news, but an update. You know, we had a listener give us a review asking if we could review some other name brands, and someone specifically recommended the Maross or Maross products. And so I did, as I said on last episode, order one of those Maross or Maross outdoor plugs. I would have loved to talk about it on this episode, but I cannot get that thing to set up for anything. I have tried multiple times directly in HomeKit and trying to scan the HomeKit code and do all that. I also had the Maross app and tried to add it directly there. And can't get it in HomeKit for nothing. So right now it's working as like a power strip and it works fine that way. But I will continue to try and hopefully give an update on the next episode if I can actually get it in the Home app. So that's the Maross outdoor plug. We'll get back to you on that. Well, and then another piece of follow-up news. Andrew has been working on the Eve Lightstrip adaptive lighting. So Andrew, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had some issues last week, as I'm pretty sure I opined on the show. I was just having some issues with my Wi-Fi and getting my updates to go through for the Eve light strips. So the Eve light strips were just updated to support Apple's adaptive lighting, which is a new feature for HomeKit inside of iOS 14. Adaptive lighting, I guess you could think of it as kind of like night shift, but for your house's lights. And it's going to change the color warmth, the color temperature throughout the day for you automatically on any light that support it. Some devices have already supported this on their own, like LifeX has a version of this. You could similarly kind of do with Philips Hue. Well, Apple brought that kind of native to iOS 14, but it did require a firmware update for the hardware to go along with. So up until now, we have not had any products that have supported adaptive lighting. Well, Eve was the first one. It sounds like Philips Hue is going to be right behind them, but Eve was the first one to bring it to their Eve light strip, which is an excellent light strip. It is very bright at like 1600 lumens or so. It's a really good light strip that I would very much recommend for functional lighting, as well as all the colors and all that fun stuff. Well, I got my update to go through, and with the latest versions, like 1.10 or something like that, or later, you have adaptive lighting on the Eve light strip. It works as easy as it could possibly be. It just automatically works. You go into the Home app, and when you go into the Eve light strip or any other light strip or light that supports adaptive lighting, you'll see we have those six kind of presets for colors there at the bottom. And the first one there, the top left position, position number one, is now a new adaptive lighting icon, like a sun instead of a circle on top of a cool white to a yellowish background. That's adaptive lighting. Just tap on that as your color for the light, and throughout the day, it's automatically going to change. It starts off a little dimmer, it seems, and more warm in the morning, kind of helping wake up. Throughout the day, it's going to add a little more blue in there, be a little more white, and it's going to kind of help promote your energy and productivity and focus during the day. And then as you get more towards the evening, it's going to kind of help you wind down, going to turn a lot more orange-yellow color to it, taking out that blue light, help you kind of calm down for the day, get ready for bed, take out that blue light, and help just wind down at the end of the day. So you just literally turn that on and it'll automatically do it. And if you turn on the light anytime throughout the day, it'll know what time of the day is and adjust the light to be the correct color temperature for that time of day. And you can even include this into automations. So anytime you would create an automation that turns on a light that supports adaptive lighting, like the Eve light strip, you just create it with that accessory in there. And when you choose the color and the brightness and everything, you simply choose that icon. You choose adaptive lighting, and maybe you arrive home, the lights turn on, and they turn on to that proper color temperature based on the time of day. It is a really neat feature. It worked flawlessly once that update was in there, and I've had no issues with it. I've been using it on my mantle lights in our living room. It's bright, very functional lighting for us in there, and it's really cool to see that temperature change throughout the day. My biggest gripe is the fact that they are the only product that supports it so far. So I cannot wait for Hue to add this as well, and we can see it with other lights rolling out. I know plenty more are going to be coming with this adaptive lighting feature once they get those firmware updates done, but I'm really excited. It's a great first look at this new iOS 14 feature that finally landed.
Very cool. And that's, you need 14.1?
I think it should be in just 14.
Just regular 14.
I think just iOS 14. On Apple's side, it was already implemented. I mean, it came out with 14, and they were just waiting for third parties to come and support it on the actual hardware.
Okay, very cool. Well, we have some listener feedback we're going to be getting to in a minute, but this is going to be another all Andrew section, because right before we started recording, Andrew said one word, thread, and he has it in all caps here in the notes. And I've honestly am a total novice. I have no idea what this means. So Andrew, tell us why and what should we be excited about with Thread?
Okay, so there really is a lot to unpack here. And that's why Thread is essentially our main topic of the show today. Yeah, we had a little bit of news. We have plenty of user listener feedback to get through. But I really want to spend some time on Thread, because we had talked about it almost glossing over it with the HomePod Mini. Because HomePod Mini is Apple's first device that'll support Thread. And we're like, oh yes, it supports Thread, with no other context about what is Thread, why do I care at all what Thread is, and why do we need this thing? And even on top of that, what else uses Thread? So we kind of really just kind of offhandedly mentioned it, and I feel like it is a very important topic, and it's going to be very, very important going to the future of the smart home. So I just thought today we would talk about Thread. Essentially, it is a connectivity standard. The best things that I would equate it to would be Zigbee or Z-Wave. It's a mesh network that connects all of these smart home devices together. Unlike Zigbee and Z-Wave, it doesn't require a hub. So most of you are obviously going to be familiar with the Philips Hue line. Philips Hue connects to each other via Zigbee. And then all of those connect to the bridge, which is what connects it to your app and everything else. So if you want to be able to connect it to your phone and do everything else, you got to have that bridge. The bridge connects to the devices over Zigbee, and then they create a mesh network all throughout your house. Mesh network is pretty awesome, because if you don't have Wi-Fi or something somewhere, or you don't have your home hub near to one of the bulbs or anything like that, you have this mesh network that just connects everything together using like Zigbee. But Zigbee and Z-Wave have their drawbacks. For one, they do require that bridge. I mean, that's, I think, probably the biggest one for a lot of people out there, is you have to have that additional bridge to connect everything together. So Thread is a new version of that is extremely low power, low latency, works across multiple brands of devices. As long as they support Thread, they can connect to one another and expand that mesh network throughout your home. And really, I think this is what a lot of devices are going to start to move to. They also can connect to each other completely independently. And if one device goes down, so say you have these in your light bulbs, say Hue would launch a new version of their bulbs that are using Thread instead of Zigbee, no more bridge. And then if one bulb ever goes down, you can actually just, that bulb's gone, but everything else will like self-heal itself to extend the network further.
You're saying this is the Wolverine of smart home?
It is the Wolverine of smart homes, man. That's what it is.
Okay, so...
That's the title. That's not...
So as you have, you know, if we did like fun titles for the show, that would be the title of this week's episode. Let me just say.
Of course.
Which listeners, why don't you vote? Tell us, should we start doing fun titles or keep it straight? Just curious. So basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, right now, what you have described is that Thread can basically use devices like a HomePod Mini, which is also a home hub, and connect to devices that normally would have required Zigbee or some other proprietary hub. And the HomePod Mini can actually act as the device's hub for connection also. So you basically wouldn't need, like if Philips adopted Thread across all its products, you would no longer need a Philips Hue hub.
Correct.
Is that right?
Cool. And I mean, basically in the HomeKit space, anyone who out there who uses HomeKit knows the two main standards that everything is using right now. Every HomeKit device, except for just a few, are using Bluetooth or they're using Wi-Fi. But both of those have such big drawbacks. So if we first look at, say, Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is great. It allows you to connect directly to the internet. You don't have to be like in range of your home hub. There's additional perks of going through like, the developer's app for additional functionality that we may not have through HomeKit yet. Wi-Fi is very helpful. But it's got so many drawbacks to it as well. It's so power hungry. There are new... like low data versions of Wi-Fi that are coming out. We're seeing it in devices like the August Lock, but even the August Lock doesn't work through Wi-Fi with HomeKit. So there are so many different kind of downsides to Wi-Fi in that regard. If you don't have Wi-Fi signal to a corner of your house or the basement of your house, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to get it to work that way. If you have a home hub or something that you want to use, it has to be on your network, and if you're using Bluetooth, those Bluetooth devices aren't going to be able to connect. If you've got your home hub in your living room or your kitchen, but you've got some Bluetooth contact sensors on your doors downstairs, it's not going to connect to your home hub, and it's not going to work. So you're not going to get those signals unless like your phone is next to them or something like that. So they have huge limitations there. Wi-Fi, it has to be plugged in all the time or receiving constant power. Bluetooth can work on battery, but it has to be near your home hub. Bluetooth also has some latency issues. It is one of the slower methods of transferring data between like Zigbee or Thread in, you know, our case that we're talking about today. So if you're going with something like Thread, the latency is much lower. So it's about 80 to 800 milliseconds for Bluetooth. Zigbee is about 50 to 230 milliseconds. And Thread is only 40 to 120.
Ooh.
So it is way faster than Zigbee or Bluetooth already is. So it's lower latency. It is low power, so it can run on a battery. It does not require constant power. Everything connects together. So like the Zigbee bulbs are great, but all those Philips Hue bulbs have to connect to one another. I can't put a bulb down here and say, oh, why isn't my Philips Hue bulb connecting to my smoke detector, which is connecting to my contact sensor, which is connecting to my bulbs upstairs, which are then connected to my HomePod Mini.
Mm.
That doesn't work. So with Thread, those devices can literally talk to one another. I can have a contact sensor, talk to a bulb, talk to another bulb, talk to a smoke detector, talk to a contact sensor, talk to a motion sensor, talk to another bulb, and then talk to my HomePod Mini. Everything can just connect together. So this is really the way that I think everything is going to start to go. I mean, there's no real huge drawbacks for Thread compared to Zigbee, compared to Bluetooth, compared to Wi-Fi. It pretty much wins out in every way. It's faster. It's more interoperable between different devices. Low power. I mean, there's not too many drawbacks out there. Thread has been around for a while. I think like 2016 or so, the original Thread group was founded. Apple didn't join until 2018, but here we are 2 years later, and we saw Apple's kind of first anything from Thread, which is the HomePod Mini, which has Thread built in. So with Thread in that HomePod Mini, it opens it up to Thread HomeKit accessories that aren't around a bridge, they aren't around Bluetooth, and they aren't around Wi-Fi. At the moment, we have diddly. We have no HomeKit. Actually, there's no, I don't think, any consumer Thread products at all currently on the market. So it is very limited right now. You pretty much can't do anything. But the fact that HomePod Mini does have Thread in there makes me think that we are going to start seeing these products sooner rather than later. So as these products do start to come out, I thought it was a really good time to talk about what Thread was so people understand why it's going to be such a big deal when we do start hearing about Thread products.
So you were saying an accessory can talk directly to another accessory, but I imagine with HomeKit, you know, if you were wanting to control, like make, if you had an automation where you open the door opens so the door sensor sees it, it triggers a light to turn on. Even though the accessories might be able to talk directly, I imagine it still has to go through the hub, like your HomePod Mini or HomePod or Apple TV, in order for that automation to work, right?
Yeah, I assume so. Because, I mean, the Home Hub is really what is triggering those events. So it is receiving the signal that the contact sensor opened. I mean, it's the brain behind it all. There's no like brain in these devices other than, hey, there's a Thread device. I want to talk to it. That's all it knows. So at this point, it's getting that information, passing it over to the Home Hub, and the HomePod is sending that signal back to the second Thread device to change its state, whatever it was supposed to be doing, turning on a light, something like that.
But it would possibly obfuscate the need for like a Bluetooth extender. So if you have like an outdoor water spigot type thing, like an Eve Aqua or an outdoor smart plug, if they have Thread and you have devices kind of between your home hub, whether it's an Apple TV or HomePod, if you have devices between that and the outside, maybe like it should extend the network basically, right?
Yeah, as long as you have those devices in between, then you're fine. It's not a big deal. If you had, you know, just a random idea, if you had like a contact sensor in your mailbox and you had outside, like that would be too far normally.
Right.
To don't laugh. We'll talk about it.
No, I know. I like how you snuck that in. That's funny.
You're stuck it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, if that contact sensor in your mailbox, you know, that's going to be Bluetooth. For me, especially, that's too far away. That's not connecting to my home hub by any means. But if that was working via Thread, I have that contact sensor on Thread, and then I have maybe outdoor lights. I already have outside in my house. I got a bunch of outdoor Hue lights that are there. I have outdoor spigots that are outside that are controlled for my water, from all my gardens that are out there. I've got outdoor outlets that I use pretty much year round for various like outdoor lighting that's controlled based on the time of day. Any of those could work via Thread, and my contact sensor in a mailbox connects to any of those, which passes that signal right along inside to communicate to my home hub. So I think, I mean, yes, outdoor accessories would definitely benefit from that. But again, I think people already, at this point in my head, I was like, oh my gosh, Thread is amazing. I want all of my devices to use Thread. And then the same time in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I have so many devices and none of them use Thread. And it makes me like, sure. Oh no, what am I going to want to replace with Thread device? I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves because there is literally nothing that supports Thread yet. But in my head, I'm already like, okay, what would I replace with Thread? You know, what would be important for me to swap out something that's already there for Thread? And honestly, if Hue did that, that may be one of my quickest upgrades just because of the fact that I hate having hubs in the house. How many bridges, hubs are there? I mean, I know miserable. In my home, I've got ones like multiple for my garage door. I've got ones for Hue and Arlo and Acara. I'm pretty sure. Oh, I've got I said the Acara one. I kind of have two, but the Acara one, I still kind of have to have one for the August stuff because it connects over Wi-Fi there. And if you have the new version of the one that has Wi-Fi, great. But if you have something like their outdoor smart mailbox or their delivery box, that requires its own August Connect module. So there's another bridge I've got going on. How many of these could we get rid of just by going to Thread? And I know I'm putting a bunch of HomePod Minis in my house, at least probably three. I have one HomePod, the one without a cord, which someone nicely emailed me one that was on eBay. They had a power cord, like just a power cord on eBay. So I'm going to probably buy that.
Nice.
But point is, I'm going to be putting at least probably two or three HomePod Minis throughout my house. So if those all had Thread in there, which they do, those do have Thread, it would be so easy just to have so many more home hubs going around connecting to those devices. I can really see a much nicer version of this smart home than what we have now. A definite bump up compared to Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and excessive hubs that are through your home. I think this is going to be really important for that Project Connected Home over IP that Apple is a part of. They joined in late 2019. I think they're going to have a lot to say about Thread. I'm really excited for products to hopefully soon start hitting the market.
Very cool. Well, that is exciting. And so you're, so just to go back to the beginning, HomePod Mini has Thread.
Yes, HomePod Mini has Thread capabilities. Now that it's in HomePod Mini, I would, you know, bet a lot of things that the updated Apple TV we're waiting on, I would bet that that is going to have Thread in there. And let's be real, we know Apple is going to be releasing a newer version of the standard HomePod too. I mean, there are already big differences with HomePod Mini that the regular HomePod doesn't have, like the fact that you have like the improved handoff experience with that U1 chip, likely some person tracking stuff with that U1 chip throughout the house for HomeKit. That is also something that is only in HomePod Mini. And then, of course, Thread support in HomePod Mini. So Apple hasn't updated their regular HomePod in quite a while, so I would be surprised if we don't get an updated version of one of those with Thread in there as well. So I think we're going to start to see Thread just natively built into those devices. I could be wrong here, so somebody yell at me. I actually don't say that because I know everyone will yell at me. I'm pretty relatively sure that I want to say it was Eero that had Thread built into its routers.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I mean, that won't help you on, you know, specifically like the HomeKit side of things, but it, I think Thread is just going to be built into things like that, and we're just going to have it around the house, and devices will be able to connect without any issue.
Well, thank you for that masterclass in Thread. And as we are all picking up HomePod Minis, the actual pre-orders would have already gone by the time you're listening to this episode. And so I'm sure there will be 18 of them flying towards Andrew's house as you listen to this episode. So very cool. Thank you for the Thread. Never mind. All right. So we had a ton of listener questions.
Time out for Steven. Yeah.
We've had a ton of listener questions and feedback that we want to get through. First of all, we actually got an email from listener Kevin, and he was kind of talking about your studio setup, Andrew, and trying to give you some ideas. And he pointed me to something called iPort products. And iPort products are basically mounts and other kinds of accessories where you can mount iPads and other devices to the wall or in certain freestanding situations. And he actually sent us some pictures of his setup in his house. And you can kind of see, I'll put one of the chapter arts for this one as one of those pictures. If you're looking to mount an iPad to a wall, maybe it's in a commercial type environment, industrial or at your job, or something you want to do at home to use it as a hub, these products are made for that. And they're pretty cool. So you can check that out. There'll also be a link in show notes to iPortProducts.com. You can browse all that they have to offer. Have you ever tried any of these, Andrew, or thinking about using them in the studio?
No, but that is really cool. I am looking at the pictures that you have right now, and it's really neat. I think my biggest problem that I had was committing to a location, and on top of that, figuring out power. Because I don't want to run, you know, power cord through the wall. Or if I would have done that, I would have done as we were building the studio. And I really was going to do that. But I like that idea a lot. It looks really sleek. It looks really nice. It looks like the ones that are held up like magnets or something, which right. Who doesn't love magnets?
That's right.
Yeah, they look really cool. I wish I had a way to run power to it would be my biggest thing. Because I want to use Aaron Pierce is working on that home wall, that version, a new kind of home control for HomeKit, which would be a perfect application for this. There are other ones out there already that do a decent job. I don't love them or anything, but there are other versions of like a whole home control for HomeKit. And I also just kind of wanted one, especially in my studio, one of all the live feeds of my cameras. That would be really helpful to me in here, but I don't know where I would put it. We've been in the studio for a few weeks now, and I cannot hang a piece of art on the wall because I'm like, I don't want to ruin anything. Just built this, and I'm going to regret wherever I hang something or do something. So it gives me panic. It gives me panic, Stephen.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you got a lot of responsibility there. But anyway, but thank you, Kevin, for sending that link on. And again, check that link out in show notes if you're interested in stuff like that. So David sent in a question. He's got some Slage locks, some smart locks, and they're kind of far from his Apple TV hub, which is his main HomeKit hub. And he's wanting to know if getting an additional HomePod mini acting as that secondary hub would help with the device connectivity. And I don't know, this is kind of one of those weird things where we've talked about what when you have multiple hubs, you can kind of see them in your home app, but there's not really a way to prioritize which hub is which. But Andrew, maybe you can help David, will that actually help the connectivity with his smart lock?
I have no concrete answer, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking at that, and it's one of those questions where Apple never really is very clear on how the home hubs work. Like, if you have five home hubs in your house, or all of those actively connecting to your accessories and kind of bridging them all together, or are they not? Because if you look in the home app, it'll tell you which one is your primary home hub. It'll literally say like connected, and then the rest will say like standby.
Right.
And the idea, typically one goes down, it'll move to the second one. But there's kind of two things that a hub does for you. You have your remote access and control and automations and everything like that, and then you just have the connecting to accessories part. So even though a home hub is in standby mode, I kind of assume that it's still connecting to your accessories. So if I have Bluetooth accessories in my bedroom, that's far away from my primary home hub, which typically is my living room Apple TV 4K. That is typically my like listed primary connected active home hub, way far away. But I still don't 100% know if those Bluetooth accessories are connecting to like the Apple TV that's in my bedroom, or my future HomePod mini that would be in the bedroom, or if it wouldn't. So I think that they do. I don't have any evidence of that. I would think that your home hub, even if it's not connected and active as your primary home hub, I still think it's connecting those accessories. It's still likely connecting to them and passing that information to your primary home hub, which is the one who's doing all the processing. That's the one that is actually triggering or receiving a trigger and sending off an automation to run. It's the one processing your video from your HomeKit cameras. All that is done on one HomePod, but I'm still thinking they're passing that information along. I just don't know with certainty.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bill asked us a question. He was seeing if we could name kind of our favorite wireless cameras, specifically for outside, I imagine, but looking for HomeKit stuff. He's obviously considering the Arlo Pro 3 or the Eufy Cam 2 Pro. Now, I personally have a couple outdoor cameras, but they're the Logitech Views, and those are not wireless. Those you have to plug into power. The only wireless one I have actually is a Canary Flex, which is kind of an older model. I'm not even sure if they make the Flex anymore. You can get them, but...
They do.
Okay, they do make them, yeah. But it is not HomeKit. The Canary cameras are not HomeKit, and the ones I have don't integrate. I like the Canary Flex, but again, we're all about the HomeKit here. But I know Andrew has a ton of options for wireless HomeKit security cameras. So Andrew, why don't you help Bill out?
Yeah, so for really quick minor refresher, HomeKit is pretty strenuous as far as Wi-Fi connectivity goes, especially for cameras. And it pretty much requires that that device is constantly accessible. So if a device is connecting to HomeKit over Wi-Fi, it is like constantly pinging it, and a camera would have its battery die like instantly. It would die so fast. So we don't really see any HomeKit wireless cameras, but we have some on the market. There's the Eufy Cam 2 Pro, there's the Arlo Pro 3. The way they get around those is technically the bridge is what is HomeKit compatible, and that is always accessible through HomeKit. It is always accessible over the Wi-Fi or Ethernet, and then whenever a camera feed is requested, then it can go wake up the camera and communicate with it. So that way the camera battery is not draining. Again, you're just going to have that bridge there. So you likely already know this. You've already looked at the products. Bill has already looked at the Arlo Pro 3 and the Eufy Cam 2 Pro. I like them both. I use the Arlo more. I do have the Arlo Pro 3, and I like the Arlos very much. They have a lot of AI stuff, which I appreciate. So if you're looking for that kind of additional value, then the Arlos would be my choice. But if you're looking for something a little bit cheaper, than the Yuvicam 2 Pros. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. They're still great cameras. I think kind of feature-wise as a whole, the better product, I would lean towards the Arlo Pro 3, but I'm pretty sure the Yuvicam 2 Pros are also quite a bit cheaper than that. The other option is the Arlo Pro 3 floodlight cam, which is probably even a little bit higher on the list, but it is so awesome. It's just a huge, massive light, and it's really functional for us in our backyard because it is so dark. So I have one of those Arlo Pro 3 floodlight cams out there, and everything works through HomeKit, the camera as well as the light. So you can control the light on and off, change the brightness, all of that. So you can tie that into other scenes as well. So any of the other Arlo cameras, it's only the camera itself that's in HomeKit. Not HomeKit Secure Video, but just the camera feed. So I love that you can also control the light on the floodlight cam, just a little bit of extra functionality there. It's also probably a little bit more blinding for someone who is, like, you know, sneaking around your yard and then, like, giant floodlight. Runaway scamper. So that's just my two cents, but you really don't have that many options as far as wireless cameras go.
All right, now this question, it's a little late for when you're listening to this show, but this was Ryan asking if there were any triggers where he could connect the election results to his Hue lights. Now, again, we're kind of past the election already, but I did point him to ifttt.com. This is not a HomeKit solution. There's not really a way to kind of integrate those external sources of information into HomeKit. But if you want to mess around with third-party integrations, ifttt is a great option. They connect to so many different things, including like weather stuff, news, tweets, elections. And the ifttt service can connect a lot of different options to your Hue lights. You can make it so when there's rain in the forecast, your light turns blue. Or when a certain tweet with a certain hashtag is tweeted somewhere, it'll affect some Hue light or any of the other integrations that ifttt works with. So there wasn't anything specific about election results in ifttt that I could find, but if you want to mess around with some of those weird kind of integrations and changing lights depending on different situations, I would check out ifttt. Did you have anything for Ryan?
I just thought this was a great idea. This is such a cool utility there. I've seen it being used. So there's also a Git repo that I stumbled upon that was basically taking like the JSON files of the election results and then tying that into your Hue setup. It's an easy thing to do. I know we're past the election, but I'm glad we talked about it because it's such a cool idea of being able to tie something like election results or news, anything like that, into your Hue lights. I thought that was just such a cool idea.
All right. Well, and this last piece of listener feedback, I don't want to give it away because Andrew thought this was so cool. And then we can actually do the question next. But Andrew, why don't you tell our listeners, what did Neil Schmidt ask you about?
Okay. So Neil had a question in here, but I didn't even get to the question part when I originally read it. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is such a cool idea, Neil. So we had to talk about the show before I even looked at if I could answer the question. So the part that I thought was so cool was he used an Eve motion detector inside of his mailbox. He put it in his mailbox, and it actually is able to let him know whenever motion is detected that he got his mail. I think this is awesome because I'm always watching for the mail, especially like this time of season where I'm like waiting for iPhone 12 cases to show up or anything, or I'm trying to like, you know, catch the mail lady for outgoing stuff for work. All the time. So the fact that he put like a contact sensor or a motion detector in his mailbox,
yes,
is awesome. I don't think it would reach. I'm probably going to have to go try this. I don't think a Bluetooth sensor is going to reach where my mailbox is. I'm going to try it, but I don't think it'll reach. But I thought that was a brilliant idea. So for anyone who is like wondering when the mail comes, throw a contact sensor or a motion sensor in the mailbox and see if it works. So that was his brilliant idea that he had. His question was, he wants to know if it's possible to suppress the notifications when he's at his house. Mm-hmm. The idea being, if you're home, you're going to maybe see the mail coming in, so you don't need to have the notifications come through. That's the gist of what he's looking for there. Okay, so fortunately, you can do this. So right now I'm looking at a motion sensor. I'm looking at the IOTA motion sensor for my Abode IOTA like security system and everything. It's got the camera, the motion sensor, all that kind of fun stuff. And if you go into those settings, you pull it up, and you go down to the option for status and notifications, you can toggle it on to receive notifications on your phone. So it says notifications on this phone. I toggle that on. And right below that, you have two different options. I can receive activity notifications when, and then you can choose it based on time. So anytime during the day, at night, or specific times where you can actually input the time zones that you want to be able to receive notifications from that sensor, or people. You can choose it just off. Don't worry about the people. You can have only notifications come through when you're home, when you are home versus anyone being home. So anyone home, when you are home, when nobody is home, or when you specifically are not home. So yes, you can get notifications based around a contact sensor or a motion sensor based around a time or if someone is home or not.
Okay, very cool. So it can be done. So Neil, check out that automation. Let us know if you can get that working. And also just kudos on the whole contact sensor in a mailbox. I'm probably going to do that. I don't know if it'll reach, but that is amazing. Well, keep your eyes peeled to HomeKit Insider and AppleInsider.com. The HomePod minis will be arriving later this week as you listen to this episode. And so we'll have lots of coverage on that. I'm sure Andrew's going to have 1,000 videos, one for each HomePod mini that he has bought. And so definitely check that out. We'd love to hear from you. Keep sending your questions and feedback in. You can tweet with the hashtag HomeKitInsider and mention Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Make sure we can see that. Thank you for everyone who's given us a 5 up to 13.5 star rating. We've had lots of greater than 5 star ratings in Apple Podcasts. You guys are amazing. Thank you for doing that. If you haven't yet, go ahead and hit us with that 5 star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. And we're glad you tuned in. We'll catch you next time.